keep on pushing. I can't stop now. Move up a little higher. Some way or somehow. 'Cause I've got my strength. And it don't make sense not to keep on pushing.
That's the Impressions with Keep On Pushing. I just have some issues here, and I'm trying to just get them all settled. And let's see. Okay, so then that does it. That's the Impressions with Keep On Pushing, their iconic civil rights anthem from the 1960s that became the title track, in fact, of their 1964 album. It was written and composed by the great Curtis Mayfield. And I thought we would play that tune today because, goodness knows, that's all we have left to do. We just got to keep on pushing because there's so much stuff happening. It is hard sometimes to remember or to keep in mind that this is a great country with very bright people who know what they're doing. You know, you look around, you see what the state of affairs is, and you say, nah, that can't be true. That just can't be true. But it is, in fact, true. The duopoly, as we see today, is in big, big trouble, but to hear them tell it, both the Republican and Democratic parties are merely adjusting themselves to post-election realities. Move along, move along. Nothing to see here. At least that's what they're trying to tell us. This is normal. This is nothing extraordinary. There's no crisis. Nothing to worry about. It's a little bump in the road, but really, things will come back to normal real soon. But this being politics, of course, you know that almost nothing, we are told, should be accepted as the truth, especially from the parties themselves. Don't accept what they say is true. It more than likely isn't. We've talked about both parties imploding, as a matter of fact. We've talked about this several times in the recent past. And now we're seeing that it is actually hitting home, and the parties are trying their best now to figure out how to get out of the fix that they're in, that they put themselves in. And both of them have the same answer. What's wrong, it seems, is that they need to rev up their message. If they get the message clear, things will be better. That's it. Get a new message. While Trump is sticking with his Make America Great Again, even as his administration doesn't look too great right now, nor does it look capable of making America great again. Every couple of hours, you have to check in to see who else is being forced to quit, who is resigning, who is being demoted, who has just joined the team, and in what capacity. You know, it is so bizarre. It is so bizarre that this country is running that way. And on the other side of the coin, we have being launched today in Virginia the new message of the Democratic Party. This, of course, will help them win.
that they have a new message. They hired some new people since Trump hired some new people, and everybody's now a marketing expert. Everybody sees that success really depends upon the strength of your marketing. That's really what was the problem. Marketing. Poor marketing. Well, on Donald Trump's side, he himself is the king of marketing. So that shouldn't be a problem, but it turns out it is. A lot of people are really just moving aside, moving away from the Republican Party. They are embarrassed by it. They, in a short period of time, they've gotten fed up with Donald Trump and his antics. And they resent the idea. They feel that they're being bamboozled, and they are. Because the number one priority for Donald Trump, it seems so far, is Donald Trump and anybody else named Trump or anybody married to somebody named Trump. That's the number one. These are the number one objectives right now. Everything else will have to wait. As far as the Democrats are concerned, like I said, Chuck Schumer, the big honcho of the Democratic Party, because these kinds of heavy messages could only come from a big honcho like Charles Schumer and not the head of the Democratic committee, but it is Schumer. Schumer makes the announcement. Now, what was wrong is that they didn't quite, they didn't really explain what happened in the last election. And if they had done a better job of that, perhaps Hillary Clinton would have done better, and the Democrats would have held their position, and they would have won the election. Now, this is how they see the world. Everybody has an explanation, some strange mathematical solution that they didn't have a chance to implement all the way through. Some other person or some other party or some other situation cost them the vote. That's Hillary Clinton's position. And they are all wrong. People are just fed up. Here's a very simple explanation. People are fed up with you. And imagine the nerve of a Chuck Schumer standing before America, especially the Democratic Party members of America, and saying what was wrong was that Hillary didn't do a good enough job of explaining what her campaign was about. She didn't get that point across. No, they got a point. They got the point. She got the point across very well. What the party continues to ignore is that people resent the idea that the best you can present as a choice, the best people that you can find are people who are crooks and who are just interested in themselves. Your party is an organized criminal organization. That's what your party is. Now let's start there as the reality. Your party is a criminal organization. Why should anybody want to support that? The candidate that you are presenting for people to support is an absolute crook. You know that. Just because you have no standards doesn't mean that other people don't have any. Who wants to vote for a crook? wants to vote for somebody who still can't account for hundreds of billions of dollars? How can you support somebody who has turned to the developing world not to help it, but to feed on it? You're saying you're helping Haiti, you're helping all these African countries, but you're helping them with bad drugs, outdated drugs, drugs that have no potency whatsoever. You've been conducting a flim-flam operation in plain sight, and you are getting the direct support of people like Schumer and Obama and others in the party. The party leadership has protected people like Hillary Clinton. Who wants to support a party like that? It's like the old Groucho Marx saying, I won't join any club of which I'm a member. It's the same thing. The best people you could produce as a standard bearer for your party, you choose not to vet them. You choose to overlook the multitude of sins and the baggage. They're carrying more baggage than JFK airport processes in a day. These people ought to be in jail. And you know that. But you want people to lower their standards to the point where they suddenly don't see that Hillary Clinton is a crook. Her husband is a crook. Her daughter is an aspiring crook. In some cases, she's already gone down that path. Your party has no morals. Your party has no standards. And your party is an exploiter. It comes to the Black and Latino communities all the time to save its butt. But so far, what is the list of accomplishments that you can say to these communities, these constituencies, that you've done the best you can by them? No. Instead, you come with this lie on top of all the other lies that this party has told over the decades, that, well, it was Trump's fault. It was this person's fault. It was that person's fault. It was, you know, a procedural error in that the message wasn't formulated right. It didn't get across right. No, it is also that the people are fed up of you and your party. They're disgusted, as they ought to be. Because it turns out the voters have much higher standards than you do. You see no problem in people contaminating themselves in order to support this Democratic Party that has, how many people have been indicted in the last couple of years? But we know at least two. And they were high up in government. A president who also used to be a governor, who also was at one time the state attorney general. And look at the record. When I say that, I mean, look at the criminal record. And these are the people you have at the highest levels in your party. And we are supposed to follow suit. We are supposed to fall in line behind that. A serial rapist or sexual offender against whom articles of impeachment were voted? I mean, come on. You're gonna tell me with a straight face that the reason the party lost was, well, you know, Hillary needed to get the message across, and we needed to help her get that message across more emphatically. No. What you needed to do was to clean up your act. And don't ever present somebody like Hillary Clinton to the people as a standard bearer of this party ever again. That's the lesson. That's the lesson you're supposed to learn. Sabotaging other people's campaigns. Missing emails. Violating national security. All these things, we'd be here all night if I were to list everything. But what I resent is that though they know these things, they are willing to suddenly become oblivious to them. And Hillary Clinton is once again on the pedestal. I played a tape here earlier this year of Shirley Chisholm saying in her own words what her experience was when she attempted to run for office for president and what the Democratic Party did to her. Y'all are not even concerned. Why should anybody be concerned about the character of the person that you're trying to put up there to rule us? We are supposed to invest in somebody like this, who in turn will come to rule us. You must be out of your mind. Y'all are drinking something down there in Washington. And then on the flip side of the coin, we have Donald Trump, who presents his own alternate universe, in which, of course, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are to look away from nepotism, open nepotism. All these irregularities that are occurring, you chose this guy as a bona fide, he was qualified to run. You said so. But look what we got. Look what you handed America to choose from. So people have been reacting to what they have been seeing and experiencing. And it's really, really bad news.
Democrats in both chambers will gather in rural...
Oh, well, let me just turn this off here for a minute. So you have this phenomenon going on where suddenly leadership will accept just about anything. And so they expect the people to accept just about anything. Who the heck wants to vote for Donald Trump? Who wants to vote for Hillary Clinton? And to be very, very honest about it, if that were the choice, really the choice, I'll vote for Donald Trump. I'll have to hold my nose and vote for Trump. I sure will not be voting for Mrs. Clinton. So this is what's wrong with the party system. Apart from the fact that there are other very serious concerns, that the two-party system is exceedingly undemocratic. It locks out viable or possibly viable other parties. But they, too, are fooling around. This is the time for them to get really excited about just throwing a monkey wrench in the works. Because people can't abide the other two choices that they have. Donald Trump is polling 39, and I'm putting a little extra there, to make it around 39%. Remember how popular he was? Remember when he was a sure thing? Because he was so different, and he's going to drain the swamp and all of this kind of talk. Within 6 months, that has vanished. I had said from the very beginning, this guy has no plans. He intends to run the country like a game show. Today, well, like what's happening now, Sessions was in, then he was out, then they put him back in, but he's not necessarily a permanent appointee. This is how a grown man who occupies the highest office is playing with people and playing with us and playing with the way the country is seen in the world community of nations. Like he's a nut. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's making it up as he goes. He brings in another guy to replace his press secretary, another Wall Street guy. And you know what that's about? That's in another couple of weeks, we will see yet some more changes because they all have individual plans which supersede the plans for the country. They're there to take care of their business. Their business comes first. And you have to wonder, what could this president of ours be thinking when he chooses people like this? No qualifications. Nobody with a high position around him is qualified. Nobody. Hey, you, come over here. What's your name? Oh, Bobby. Well, Bobby, what do you do? Well, I'm a mechanic. Great. I think you should be the Secretary of Transportation. That's the kind of insanity that we are being forced to live with. That the Republican Party, with the exception of Jeb Bush faced down his fellow Republicans. This was just over the weekend. He said, you know, what are we doing here? Is nobody seeing what is going on? Is nobody objecting to what is going on? Do we really allow the party to go this low? Yeah, they probably hung their heads for a split second and then moved on to the next thing. It doesn't seem as if anybody's really bothered about what does it mean to be the president of a country, a major, major world player. What does it mean? How do you use your position? What is the plan that you have to achieve all these lofty ideas? There is no shame anymore. The Clintons definitively have taught us that, and they definitively have put us over the line in terms of ethics, in terms of moral judgment. Forget it. These people are purely about money and power. And to the extent that you have every reason to suspect or to believe that they're not even human. They go at this thing with such a vengeance. It makes them take almost a permanent leave of what would make anybody a human being. they get their hands on all this money. We've been talking about the Clinton Foundation. That's only one piece of it. We're talking serious money and an intense focus to make even more. The Treasury becomes the ATM, and they're doing whatever the hell they want to do. Sure, absolutely certain that there won't be any objections. All these years that this couple have been raiding the country blind, they have gotten absolute protection and coverage from a system that should be watching them and looking out for us. That's not happening. And then they invent these systems of denial, plausible deniability, it used to be called, where somebody, you can actually say, well, you know, we didn't do a good job of market. This was a marketing problem. you're still lying to yourself. This was not a marketing problem. People hated Hillary Clinton. Deal with that. Nobody wanted her to be close to this woman. Nobody wanted to see this woman back in office, except, you know, the people who are being intentionally ignorant. Nobody with a ticking brain would have liked to see that happen, because it's just wrong. But nobody in the party had the guts, the fortitude, the moral fortitude to stand up and say, this thing is way out of control here. Way out of control. I am leaving the party. I'm done with this. I don't live my private life this way. I sure am not going to have you bring me into your trap and have me tolerate your criminality. I'm not going to do that. Nobody was that principled. And now they're on to the second round, and I'm sure that in large part, this is also to prepare for Hillary Clinton's second try at the presidency. They won't give up. So that is the job for us, to remind them that if they can't see, if they don't have the vision to understand that situation, they're not qualified to lead anybody. And you go your own way. You're not losing anything. That was what was the basis of my decision to leave the Democratic Party. I registered as a Democrat. And then very soon afterwards, I said, nope. This is not how it's supposed to work. It is not the way it's supposed to work. And I'm done. I'm done with the charade. Silly people who, you know, they finesse their way into positions of influence and power. And I mean, you would expect at least it should occur to them that they ought to do something for it, you know, just produce something worthwhile. But they don't do that either, most of them. They like the status. They like the money. They like the sure thing of a check and guaranteed benefits. And for many coming out of our communities, this is the best paying job they will ever have. And for that alone, they're so grateful that it just stops there. They don't envision they could ever have it so good. And so they have to repay Massa for letting them off the plantation, even though they put on another one, but they're so grateful because their task is, their principal task is to take us along with them so that when the signal is given, as they say, you bring those souls to the polls. And after that, you know, you could go back to your regular way of operating. So this is the I wanted to address this because we saw the news conference yesterday. We made a big thing at a news conference yesterday. And Chuck Schumer was just so sincere that the Democratic Party is now accepting responsibility for really not dealing with this election in a tactical way so as to assure a win. They had everything in place and so forth. But, you know, there wasn't a clear message given and all these silly excuses that have no relevance whatsoever. It comes down to this. Nobody wants to be affiliated with a party that would have as a representative somebody named Hillary Clinton. Who the heck wants to join that? Absolutely not. You again are misreading the situation. You got a hint and you're still ignoring it. You can't bring yourself to be critical of Hillary Clinton in any way. It is now a matter that you will do better, the inference being that this time around, because you know she's going to make a move, this time around, you'll do a better job at communicating. So you'll just spend some more money to hire some kind of a firm to go out there and deliver her message, which is what Donald Trump has already begun. He's been through several message givers already, and they think that that's the answer. The answer has got to be something that they can throw some money at and solve. No. People really are getting to hate you. That's the message you ought to get. And for us, we really have to get serious about planning an alternative away from this system. It's no good. It is no good. So you have to figure out what's next for you and for me. What's the next move? I'm out. Don't look for me to be voting Democratic or Republican or whichever party. I'm a whole different ball of wax when it comes to that. So I'm not a system person. But just the same, I have to find a way, as we all do, once you understand what the system is about, once you have some kind of clarity about that, you now have to fix your own means of survival. Because let's face it, you know, going along with the system, you can have, I mean, life could be a bit easier. It could be a bit easier. But if you see what's going on and you decide that you weren't raised, you know, to have people do this to you, and you're cooperating with it. You weren't raised for that. You weren't raised to tolerate that. So by necessity, you have to separate yourself from a system that seeks to do this to us, to reduce us. To reduce our humanity, our self-respect, our notions of self-governance and authority over ourselves. We can't be diminished, and not by people like this, into accepting a station in life that is just so, to me, it's just so reprehensible. I don't even want to think about it. I'd rather eat nails. So think about that. We'll take a break and come to your thoughts at 888-874-4888.
Someday, I'll reach that higher goal. I know I can make it with just a little bit of soul. 'Cause I've got my strength, and it don't make sense not to keep on pushing.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're talking about what we are experiencing in the moment, as we have been for several weeks now. What is this moment that we're in? Not just the exact moment, but also the historical moment. What is the moment that we're in? What does it demand of us that we do? And are we getting down to business, or are we still maintaining the old, you know, the old let them make the decision, and I'll find out what it is when they tell me. And that's the extent to which I'm willing to go right now. I don't support the system, but I don't really want to take on the responsibility of reorganizing my political life, my political thinking about things, because it's now going to cost me something. I'm going to have to assume responsibility. And then you'll have to face, and I guess when you make a decision like that, you don't mind facing your own contradictions. You talk about this and you talk about that, what they're doing and all the wrongdoing that is going on, but you're also responsible. You are accepting it. You're taking on its mandate and you're fulfilling every single request it makes of you. So now, what right have you to complain? We talk about recognizing the reality that we're living in, and we see what it is. I just talked about that. There was a real possibility of, you know, real criminality dominating our everyday life in the White House. And although it would send a normal person kind of frantic, it's like, hey, do you know who's in the White House? Well, we've gotten used to that. So we have accommodated that. That's why I started out with the Democratic Party today. They know what's going on. They're part of it. They have fully accommodated it. Corruption, you know, criminal actions, just total mayhem to get what you want because you can. And you don't give a damn about anybody else. The party has accommodated that because it exists all throughout the party. We've been talking about murders that have occurred. This is not a movie. This is real. And yet we act as if, well, that's really not my reality, so I don't need to claim it. I don't need to recognize it. I don't need to do anything about it. I'm just minding my business the best way I can over here, and I hope that I can get through. But of course, that's not what we're supposed to do. That's not what we are called to do. We are not called to join and lend our energy to an environment like this, which in the end is going to bounce back and affect us more than it would affect any other group in the United States. But this is the nature of where we are. So we too have to come to terms with the fact that we have been faced with a multitude of choices. And these are the choices that we make. So in the very near future, we have no right whatsoever to question anything if we are siding with a horrible, horrible choice. Edgewater, E, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice. Greetings to the audience, PRN.
Thank you, and to you too.
Yeah, I was just, you know, when I called Friday, Free Your Mind, and I said a lot of things, but I had some more reasons that Trump might have wanted to get Obama put in jail. And,
you know, I'll tell you, Obama is not, no matter what they say, Obama is not out of the water. Not out of the water at all. So it is quite possible, because some very strange things occurred during his 8 years. He is not out of the water at all. He is in no way safe.
Right. I think just the fact that he opened the gates of hell and unleashed this banshee on us again after we thought we finally got rid of the Clintons, he goes and revives and makes her, gives her the second highest position in government, Secretary of State, to destroy all these countries and put us all in this big mess. Just that alone is the reason why he should be going, getting investigated along with the Clintons. And let's not
forget
James Comey.
I firmly believe it's coming, because to get this Obamacare passed, to get that effort through Congress, a lot of wrong things occurred there that cost a lot of money to take from some programs, divert the funds, and direct it over there. Now, the thing is, if the intent were really sincere let's say, in service of the people, let me put it this way, in service of the people, let's say you do a little kind of funny math, I'll still have some sympathy. I'll still have some sympathy to say, well, look, what he was trying to accomplish was to do this. And to some degree, he succeeded in getting something done. But believe me, a lot of wrongdoing was involved here. And it was done because it started with Hillary Clinton, when she appointed herself as, her own Secretary of Health and Human Services, locked herself up with a bunch of insurance execs in a room, and they worked this out, and then handed it to Obama, said, look, get this done. Get it through Congress. Get it passed. We'll take care of you. You're all right. But you're the president. We could help you. I could help you with some ideas of how to get this passed, but get it passed. And he did. But it won't be long before it becomes a major subject of inquiry. because he got, it was in his interest, too, to get this landmark piece of legislation, as they were calling it, passed. But how? What was involved in getting it passed? How much money did it take? Now, according to Obama, something like about $900 million. But that's not it. This thing costs serious money. And nobody has accounted for it yet. You see? And it wasn't discussed with Congress, really. This is what I mean by wholesale corruption. When people believe they don't have to answer to anybody, and they're so smart that along with the millions, if not trillions of dollars that this particular program would cost, you fatten it up a little bit. You put yourself in there, in the lines of the budget, and you make it so that it's not easily detected. This is what they do all the time. So people would tend to forgive you. This, they would say, was a program you meant well, to get a program passed that would benefit all Americans. Now, that's a noble cause. But you're also among the noble Americans. And that is why we have the bill, you see. It wasn't that we needed a bill. We needed a program. That was never an argument. Everybody in Congress knows how these things work. It may be totally invisible to the unpracticed eye like mine. You may be reading it. It's probably right in front of your face, and you can't figure it out. It is disguised as something else that has nothing to do with medical care for people. But it has to do with a very bright and independent future for individuals who are connected to each other in crime. That's why they sit outside the gaze of Congress, outside everybody's direct observations. This thing is not being debated at all. It's just gotten passed. And the principal reason it got passed is the president urging its passage is a very popular guy. That's the calculation. He's a very popular man. And look, he's trying to do the right thing for the people. So obviously the people are coming for him. They're being very critical and whatnot because they're just jealous and vengeful. Yes, that too, they are. But I tell you, this is one of the smoothest, three-card Monte games I've seen in a long time. And people will look very closely very soon. Very soon.
Right. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. I mean, just Hillary Clinton and James Comey alone were both appointed by this man. So he could very well be the ringleader of the whole mess. So why wouldn't Donald Trump want to get him? It doesn't have to be something racial is all I'm trying to say.
I think it is, you know, that's why I called it to differentiate the swamp from the sinkhole. And this is a sinkhole. The people involved know who they are connected to in very shady enterprises, very shady dealings. They're all kind of connected in one way or the other. The thing that keeps it tight is that as long as nobody talks, they'll all be okay. And this is why there's this push to get somebody to talk. You squeeze them until they talk about something. Because in the swamp, you just kind of, you know, you go do your thing. In the sinkhole, they're a little bit more sophisticated. They draw each other into these enterprises like any other criminal organization would do, so that if you're going to be busted, you're all going to go. So they pick the one that they think they could lead on the hardest and threaten them with all kinds of things because they have lots and lots of evidence against them. And you press them until they squeal. And then they take Bobby down. Then Bobby squeals and takes Mary down. Mary squeaks, and then they take Sheila down. And that's how it works. That's the technique they use in the sinkhole. But we haven't seen them. We're seeing them approaching that level, but then Trump has not handled his choices, and he hasn't handled the people he's hired very well. And largely this is because there's so many people knocking on his door demanding that they get the plum assignments, you know, because they know Donald for many years. And, you know, Donald, we were good friends, Donald. I want to be such and such. And Trump caves. And people who have no experience in prosecution or in the fine arts of investigation end up in exactly these positions. So you can't accuse Trump, the Trump administration, of not having a prosecutor. Hey, look, there's one. But he's not going after the targets that he ought to be going after. So expect soon that this thing is going to blow up. And a lot of people will be talking, depending on how effective the investigations are. A lot of people will be talking. But you have to have somebody sane at the helm, and we don't have that. Thanks, E, for calling in today. And that brings us to the end of the program. I want to thank you very much for listening. I hope you're passing the word to people that you know about the station, PRN, and about this program on this station, Lead Stories, your favorite program. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele. You can reach me at Lead Stories, L-E-I-D, stories@gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye. Look, look, a look yonder. What's that?